eating out of your hand, Serpento. Of course, you and I know your primary function will be as a figurehead, a sterling symbol of the power and unanimity of Cobra. You will give them someone to look up to while I make all the important decisions.
Then start by deciding where you want to be buried.
Don't be so aggressive. I'm still open to negotiation.
There can be no negotiation, you insolent microbe! I am not symbolic! I am your emperor and master! Cobra!
Join us as the Shed remembers on Shed Talk, episode 10.
Add your kids. Add your wife.
Coming straight at you from the heart of the California Redwoods, it's Shed Time.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
Winning.
My jokes are bad.
Welcome to the Shed. I'm Andrew Newman, sitting in the Shed tonight with Steve Turbovich. Steve, how's it going tonight?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing well. We've got our new little tripod friend here.
Yeah.
The Snowball Blue microphone, even though it's black.
Right.
It says blue, and it's a nice microphone. We're trying it out for the first time, and I think it's going to change the sound quality of the show. I think it's a good move. What do you think about that, Brian?
I heard you guys last night testing it out. I didn't get to hear the finishing project of it until we got to test it before the show, and I like it. It's cool. I think all of us are going to be picked up on an even scale, and we don't have to keep passing mics. I don't know if the audience or our listeners knew that we're passing mics to the whole...
Right. For people that weren't aware of how I would conduct the recording before, I would have my iPhone 4, which had a recording app, and I had a cord that converted microphone. It was like a reverse... It like inverted the signal from... Instead of being one that sent a signal to your headphones, it would actually accept a signal. And it would accept the signal from these two, from a splitter I had, and two lapel mics. So we would have to pass around these mics and talk into them. And it would be a little convoluted at times, but it worked. It worked. And it worked for a while, worked for a couple of years, but it was time to evolve. Mm-hmm. Time to move on. Kyle, how's it going?
Good. Yeah. My only issue with the blue mic is that when I look at it, it reminds me of the drones from Oblivion. And if anyone can see Oblivion.
Yeah, it was kind of a cool movie.
It was a kind of a cool movie, actually.
It was kind of a sleeper.
I got that queued up on my Netflix to get it sent on DVD.
Is that on Netflix now?
Tom Cruise's nutcase religion makes him a perfect guy to play in a science fiction movie. Because as an actor, he's not challenged by whether or not this is all real.
Believable.
This is all real.
He's like, wow.
He's
yes,
this is actually what's going on.
You know,
when do we start doing this?
I've noticed that Scientologists are pretty good at science fiction. Unless, of course, it's Battlefield Earth.
But, yeah, which was...
The Covenant.
Yeah, exactly. it was their attempt at, like...
It's like, I wrote Dianetics, and, here's Battlefield Earth. But I wrote Dianetics as a joke, and everyone took it seriously. Anyway,
Battlefield Earth. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, that was one of the worst movies
that is
ever.
That is such a bad movie. You know, you sit there and you really sink your teeth into a film about, like, God, it's the worst movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's what
like Planet of the Apes with Mark Wahlberg, for example.
I think every episode you've been on, Kyle, you've mentioned
Planet of the Apes with Mark Wahlberg and Tim Burton.
You come across a movie like Battlefield Earth and you realize that there are movies so bad that you actually block them out of your consciousness. It's like being molested. Watching Battlefield Earth, I forget that I ever saw it until someone brings it up. And when someone brings it up, this like wave of horror, nostalgia, not nostalgia.
Speaking of, not to cut you off, but speaking of Tom Cruise and bad movies, do you guys remember Street Fighter? The movie?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
No.
No, it was terrible.
What does Tom Cruise have to do?
It was about as good as Mario Brothers.
Because I just happened to flick on my IGN app, and it says Street Fighter writer to script Top Gun 2.
What?
That's what it says right here. Read it in an email.
Top Gun.
Well, it's just a script. It doesn't mean it's going to happen, right?
Val Kilmer is morbidly obese nowadays.
I'm sure he's written some
morbidly obese.
No, I'm exaggerating.
Well, I mean, dude, he's got some jowls going.
Yeah,
right
no. He let himself go. Go ahead.
He definitely, yeah. The scene with the beach volleyball is not.
It's gone.
The same.
It's the thing of the past.
Well, since Tom Cruise, I think, is in better shape than he's ever been, which is, you know, for a guy who's over 50.
He's bulletproof.
To Tom Cruise, is he?
I don't know. He might be.
Oh. Well, we should shoot him and find out. He does well in the films where he's beating people up or, you know, breaking their wrists. You see Tom Cruise in a movie now, he's taken on like a Daniel Craig quality where half of the good screen time is him inflicting horrid physical injury on people.
I'm sure that a lot of the older Hollywood guys who have real nutritionists that, you know, tell them what to eat and everything, or they've learned, most of them probably have some kind of ketogenic diet.
I'd imagine.
Yeah, well, because those are the ones that when you get older, the whole calories in, calories out thing doesn't work anymore. It just doesn't. It's as you age, like you're gonna start. If you continue to eat all the amount of grains in the standard American diet, eventually your gut's just gonna get bigger because you just don't have the metabolism you used to have. But I'm sorry, I'm making this a nutrition.
No.
No, that's actually extremely interesting.
Well, it's true. And when you look at indigenous societies, when their elderly are not infirm, they're not like in industrialized societies.
Right.
Because they continue their ancestral diet, which is basically essentially animal fats and...
So Tom Cruise is an example of what happens when you embrace the paleo lifestyle, and then Val Kilmer is an example of what happens...
Yeah.
When you embrace
alcohol and donuts.
So Jerry Bruckheimer is going to be behind this film.
Jerry Bruckheimer was he behind the first Top Gun?
Yes,
I think he was.
Yes. And the plot will have Cruise's character Maverick face against drones. They're hoping.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. And apparently,
Cruise's character. Have they confirmed Tom Cruise for this?
Well, Tom Cruise could do it. He could totally be in. He could totally be
but
in.
But they're trying to get Sean Ashmore.
He hasn't aged at all. He looks.
Who's gonna play Goose? Well, right, Goose. Yeah, right.
Hold on. The thing about Maverick,
see, they're
was
trying to get Iceman.
Tom Cruise,
Sean Ashmore.
No, somebody needs to go wake Val Kilmer up and throw like ice water in his face. You gotta hold yourself, man. We need to make Tom Cruise
the ice bucket challenge.
Make that motherfucker listen to white.
Well, they've got time to get him in shape if they really wanted to.
Dude, we need you to have another homoerotic relationship with Tom Cruise.
What if they accidentally killed Val Kilmer trying to get him in shape? What if that were a thing? Like, they went over his house, they threw ice water in his face, they made him run up the stairs, and he just dies of a heart attack.
Yeah,
like,
right.
He pulls a Tyrone Powers or something. Poor guy.
The thing about Maverick is that he's cool because you imagine being... It would be cool to be Maverick. But you don't give a fuck about Maverick, the guy behind the call sign. That's not what Maverick's about. I don't want to see Maverick after he's 50.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Maverick after the credits.
Right,
I just want to see that of Maverick's life.
Is he going to be like Tom Skerritt in the first one? He's like the guy in charge.
And then all of a sudden he's in the tower and someone does a fly-by of him.
Maybe
Shia LaBeouf does a fly-by of him.
Maybe he'll be right. Exactly. Maybe Shia LaBeouf will be like the star.
God.
Maybe Shia LaBeouf.
It's Sunni.
Wait. We have three pronunciations for this.
Nobody knows how to say that guy's fucking name. Nobody cares enough to know how to pronounce his name correctly. He's an unappealing celebrity. People are like, yeah, people, you say, actually, it's shut the fuck up.
It's actually,
shut the fuck up. There's, there's kind of like actors that you just kind of wish that they just fell off the face of the earth, kind of like Sam Worthington. Like, whatever happened to that guy?
Sam Worthington made those stupid movies with the Greek gods.
Yeah,
like Liam.
And the sequel. I think the sequel really did him in when he did Wrath of the Titans.
Oh, yeah.
Was terrible.
That was it. That was a mistake.
Clash of the Titans was somewhat entertaining, just because I was like, oh, it's kind of like watching Clash of the Titans again, but not as cool.
Oh, Sam Worthington.
Ray Harryhausen had nothing to do with it.
That's Avatar guy?
Yeah, he had that year where he did Avatar, Clash of the Titans.
He did Terminator.
He did Terminator Salvation.
Yeah.
Those three. Wow, this guy's like in every fucking
He doesn't have Chris Pratt's charisma or any charisma.
No.
He was vapid, right?
He was good in Avatar. I liked him in Avatar. He was very good in Avatar.
He didn't have to carry Avatar. Avatar carried.
And he was alright in Terminator Salvation, except for the stupid romance thing, which ruined
that. I don't even remember that shit.
Well, he's got a Russell Crowe like intensity, and he's got a kind of a Clint Eastwood quiet guy thing going on. I think he's actually a very effective actor. People are like, oh, he plays the same character in every movie. You're like, yeah, so did fucking Clint Eastwood and Marlon Brando.
And
Robert De Niro and, like,
Harrison Ford.
Who said acting is judged by how different and wacky you can make each
other?
Everyone has to be David Lee Lewis and Christian Bale, who have this huge range that they can do. But obviously there's needs for certain types of acting.
And you name two of the actors with really wide ranges that are very compelling and effective. Most actors who do really wide ranges, I think, are kind of saccharine and
They don't really get into it that much.
No, they're doing a shtick. They're like, oh, well, now I'm this
character. It's a caricature, right?
Because there's always Clint Eastwood and Harrison Ford, there's always like spots in movies for guys like that, because they need heroes. They need like compelling male figures.
Well, and they can deliver these lines with a straight face in a way that doesn't make you feel like you're
I immediately think of Denzel, and that I don't like Denzel because he always plays the same guy, and I don't like the guy that he always plays.
Well, it's whether or not you like the character they play. Of course,
that's what it is.
Like,
yeah.
I don't like Charles Bronson for similar reasons.
I like Denzel, but there's certain moments I really like him in, and there's recently, I haven't even seen a Denzel Washington movie. I didn't see Flight, and I didn't see like all
these movies.
It was great.
It was good. I just never felt compelled to watch it.
It's crazy good. Like, you just can't believe, like, you know, the guy gets, you know, does rails and drinks all night.
And then gets
behind a fucking plane to fly it, you know? It's like, really, dude?
So basically everyone's going to the airport now before they got on their flight, and they're like checking the pilot out. Is this guy all right?
I feel like Denzel Washington did well enough in a couple films that he could suck in every movie from now to the end of his life and still have prestige. Yeah. He did so well in those
movies. Man on Fire was great.
Man on Fire was cool. That was cool. He was good in that. He was compelling.
Man on Fire was awesome. Fucking Man on Fire? Like, out of the canon of That's What You Pull Out?
It was good.
Glory?
Yeah, Malcolm X?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, not Man on Fire.
I really liked him in Training Day.
Training Day, he won an Academy Award for Training Day.
I mean, Training Day was a very average movie.
Yeah.
But his performance was so good, overwhelming in that movie compared to everyone else. And he won Best Actor that year, too.
Sure.
I don't know if that was his only Best Actor award, but I can't remember off the top of my head. But I know he won an Academy Award for Training Day. Training Day didn't win any other Academy Awards. It was kind of a stupid movie.
Yeah. It had some great performances by Ethan Hawke and Denzel Washington.
Exactly. Those two together are great.
And it had a story that was like a silly little ghetto, like...
King Kong!
It's going to be good in the ghetto. We can all get along. White cops and black cops who were... It was thematically diffuse and kind of, you know, schmaltzy.
Maybe I liked Man on Fire because Ridley Scott... And you could tell it was his,
Okay.
And it was his kind of style. And it was just kind of...
Man on Fire is not the reason that Denzel Washington has...
I think Denzel Washington carried Man on Fire. Yeah. People went to go see Man on Fire because Denzel Washington was
serious. But there's a few Denzel Washington films that put it in the upper
echelons.
I didn't go see it
because of Mark Anthony.
I didn't even remember him being in them.
I'm not saying he's not without range either, because he showed it in Philadelphia...
Glory,
like you said, sure. But maybe I'm just pissed that
he's young.
The only projects he seems to take now are... What's that?
He's become Robert De Niro, where he's just doing... He's
Easy scripts. That's a good analogy. Yeah.
That are not going to be challenging, that are not going to bomb. He's making very safe decisions. He's making a ton of money.
I didn't see Book of Eli. I've heard good things about it. I've never seen it, though.
Yeah, there's no incentive for an actor in his position to take risks.
Okay.
And...
Unless he wants to retain some artistic integrity. If that doesn't matter to him, then he's just an actor by trade. That's his job. He takes the safe jobs. He fucking earns his paycheck. He puts his kids through college.
Well, Clint Eastwood, up until the end, takes risks. And then eventually he takes risks just by making all of his own films and starring in them.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, this is a guy, like, I don't think, you know, but Clint Eastwood in the 80s? Was Clint Eastwood in the 80s taking risks? No. He began to take artistic risks later on because he was entering the end of his working years and wanted to, you know, leave an imprint.
Isn't that what you're saying, though? Later in your career, there's no reason to...
Yeah, but right now, with Denzel Washington, there's no reason for him to take any risks. He's still, he's in his 40s, he's good-looking, he's still not going anywhere, and people are still going to pay him. Yeah, I think Denzel in his 50s, you know, he might pull a Clint Eastwood and do some seriously interesting work.
Hopefully.
One would hope, because everything he's been in for the past 10 years has sucked.
Yeah, I feel like Russell Crowe's turning into that, too. Sort of like, he just takes these roles where, you know...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll play Moses.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, like, I mean...
Oh, you're a Maximus? You can do Moses, right?
I think the last movie I saw of Russell Crowe was 310 to Yuma. With Christian Bale.
Oh, okay.
That was decent because that was a remake of an old western.
Right.
And I think he did a good you know.
Yeah.
He usually plays a tough guy, but he doesn't have to, right? He played that fucking in A Beautiful Mind, and he played in The Insider. He wasn't a tough guy.
Russell Crowe's great range. Right? He's somebody we should put in the great range category.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he also has the ability to be. But mainly, he's really got to be like a tough guy.
Yeah, right? I think that's his offspring.
Although when I think about it, he did do Beautiful Mind, and
he's
pretty compelling in that as a schizophrenic.
Yeah.
I never saw that movie. Is that his problem in the movie?
Oh, he won Academy Award for it.
Okay.
Yeah, he won Academy Award for Gladiator, and then he won one for Beautiful Mind. I think consecutive. Okay.
Beautiful Mind came out like in 95 or 96 or something.
No, it was more recent than that.
My favorite role of his.
No, it came out when I was in college.
LA Confidential.
LA Confidential.
Yeah, LA Confidential.
It was like 99 or 2000.
Never mind. I guess this is...
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, man.
Sorry. No, it's okay. Just talk right over me. So, LA Confidential...
It's confidential, though.
Is got, you know, he's a deeply conflicted, interesting character, and he's morally complex. You know, is it Bud Abbott? Help me out.
Bud White.
Thank you, Bud Abbott.
I just remember him being a real dick.
He
beats up a wife beater in the first scene. That's
and
his
then
first
beats his girlfriend.
Scene.
I need to watch that.
And then beats his. Oh yeah, he slaps her around. He's a product of his times. Come on.
Yeah, it's kind of like, okay.
My grandfather,
like Mad Men or something.
Yeah, it's like exactly. He's a little, what's his name, Draper, maybe.
Right.
Don Draper. Why do I hear women, like my cousins, women I know, old girlfriends, whatever, on Facebook, they're all like, oh, Don Draper is so hot. What is this? And he's supposed to be like a misogynist, racist jerk?
Yeah, apparently if you're a misogynist, racist jerk...
Well, why is that surprising women that women find that to be hot?
Because
I don't think women love John Hamm. Not necessarily. The guy who plays Don Draper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I get
that's
you.
What
I get
I'm
you.
Saying. Yeah, no. Women gush over that guy no matter what. And he's a great comedic actor, too, so. I don't think it's the Don Draper thing.
I think it's the actor that they're totally in love with. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think people listening to this podcast right now are like, well, are these guys going to get into some geeky shit or what?
Right.
Well, we are kind of geeky, but that is kind of geeky. But.
That's what we're all about. You know what? I wear that shit with pride on my
sleeve. Question I posed before everyone came here was we're going to talk about some cartoons that we loved growing up.
Okay.
All right?
That's good.
I'm going to start with you, Kamatra. What's a cartoon that you enjoy?
And don't steal mine.
I had my top five.
Can I
list?
Oh, this is top five you used on my other podcast.
With five, you're surely going to steal
on the web.
Well, I think I was listening to Well Watchers the other day, and all I heard was our show being referred to as that other podcast.
Okay,
and I didn't hear anybody say Shed Talk. I'm not afraid to say Well Watchers.
I broke the ice. I said Well Watchers. You know, what we did on the other week, we did theme songs, but I won't do top five. How about if I just do my favorite ultimate like cartoon that I looked forward to every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. with my bowl of cereal and what I ate in my cereal was a Pyrex. Well, it was a Pyrex glass because when I was done,
you ate Pyrex.
No. Wait, it was in a Pyrex bowl.
It was in a bowl. Okay.
Yeah, because you know whether it be like Honey Nut Cheerios or Lucky Charms or Cookie, you know, Crisp or whatever.
You ate all those.
Wait, are we talking about Pyrex bowls? Or are we talking about?
Well, the reason why. Yeah. Well, I'll give you my reason why I ate the Pyrex bowl because when I was done eating the cereal, you know how you tip the bowl to drink the milk. Well, Pyrex is clear, so when you're watching the cartoons, right. You go to tip the milk and you don't see, you know,
I can't miss it.
You can see through the glass of the Pyrex.
I can't wait for the commercials.
That's why I ate out of Pyrex bowl. I made sure. So anyway, what I looked forward to, I mean, when Sundays came around, I was like, God, fuck, I can't wait for Saturday to come because I needed to watch. It was the Super Friends, mm-hmm. the Justice League Super Friends that came on. Superheroes?
Yeah, of course, Super Friends.
And that was something that I, you know, grew up on. That's something I grew fond of, and I loved it. You know,
what did you find compelling about it?
You know, there was one episode that really, really, really got me, I really liked it, is when they, in later seasons, they started, you know, forming the Legion of Doom, and somehow Lex Luthor got to go back in time and alter three or four different people's, origins, and he stopped Superman from his rocket coming to Earth. He like deflected it to another planet. Wonder Woman, the same, something happened with Wonder Woman, and there was another character.
Was it Batman?
I don't know if it was Batman. I don't know who the third one was. But it was Hal Jordan.
Uh-huh.
It was Hal Jordan, and basically he stopped. What he did is when Abu Sur landed, mm-hmm. Lex Luthor intercepted Abu Sur and grabbed his ring, and totally like Hal Jordan did not find
the ring. Yeah,
exactly,
yeah.
Which is kind of weird because the ring chooses. You can't just grab the ring.
Right,
but back in the day, it was kind of campy. When you're kids, you don't recognize that. Yeah. And so, in the real time, all these superheroes were kind of just like fading out. They're disappearing.
Back to the future style.
Exactly. Back to and then someone was figuring out what was happening, so they were rushing back through time to stop Luthor from doing it, so that their origin would, you know, be on the correct timeline. And I just thought that was really flippin' cool.
That's way trippier than I would have expected for a Super Friends cartoon.
Yeah, it was. I knew that there was Superman, Green Lantern, and I don't know who the third person that he tried to.
You said Wonder Woman. You know,
maybe it was Wonder Woman. I forgot what. Maybe she didn't find a way to Earth.
Well, she was born to. Yeah, no. She's from. It would have to be some. Maybe Flash not getting hit by the lightning.
Maybe, or Aquaman or something. I forgot who it was. But maybe it was Batman. I don't know. But I just remember. I specifically remember Green Lantern and Superman. And I just thought it was cool. Like, that's when I, like, wow, man, they just went deep on this shit. But, you know, that's
cool.
They went deep on this shit.
So, and so, like I said, I was very fond of that show. I grew up with it, and that's what I looked forward to every Saturday, and,
All right.
So, that's that.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, that's very compelling.
Thank you.
All right. Steve?
Wait, what show was it again?
The Super Friends.
Okay.
Did you ever watch Super Friends?
I did, yeah.
Did you like it? Did you like it, Steve?
I don't remember Super Friends very well, personally.
See, I watched it. It's like, you know, I
remember the twins.
It wasn't my favorite.
Oh, see, that's what I didn't watch it
for. I didn't like it for that, but that's what stood out to me.
Do you remember Marvin and his sister? You know, he had the white turtleneck, and he had a green M. and they had like a fake cape, and they had no superpowers.
They were just like comic relief. They
yeah,
were just like
just dumb teenagers.
That sounds kind of familiar. Yeah. Like they just took them in, like, all
yeah, right, and then well, and after they did away with Marvin, then they brought in the Wonder Twins.
Oh, yeah. Sounds kind of familiar, actually. Yeah,
it just sounds like my friends in high school.
Walking around in capes with big capital letters on their chest.
Yeah, not real superheroes, you know, just with, yeah, all right.
Yes, yeah, so Steve?
I have no nostalgic, like, connection to it anymore, but I'd be lying if I didn't
see it anywhere. This should be, like, congruent with the time.
Well,
I say kids. Why?
As a kid, yeah.
Kid, what did you?
Yeah, I was a He-Man fan. I don't know what it was, but okay. I loved He-Man.
Okay.
And that was wasn't Saturday morning. That was afternoons at 4 p.m.
Yeah, no, that was.
But I tuned in. Tuned in daily for He-Man and fucking. I don't know why, but that's I fucking love that shit.
Okay, you don't know why though.
Well, I could watch Thundercats again and be like, "Fuck yeah, that's fucking awesome." Or I could watch Voltron again and be like, "Fuck yeah, that's awesome." But when I watch He-Man now, even though you know the pilot episode of He-Man was written by Paul Dini. I try to watch it on Netflix. I can even watch the old school Transformers cartoon now.
Okay.
It sucks, but I can watch it. But He-Man, I don't know, but I fucking like He-Man, I don't know.
He-Man.
Yeah.
And the Prince Masters
Adam. Of
the
yeah, exactly.
Right, right, yeah, right, Prince right. Adam, dude.
I know what you mean. He-Man is like watching a drag queen competition.
It's
like,
weird.
It's weird. It's got not levels like, not like that are inappropriate cats, for children that when you're a kid you don't get them, but as an adult you're like, that's kind of weird. Thundercats is not even subtle about just being fantastically super gay. Love Thundercats. I get it. They're like, oh, Lionel, hey, great. You know, they're almost patting each other on the butt.
Right, right. And actually, both villains, Skeletor and Mamra, are like just screaming like drag queens, right?
Right.
They're just like flamboyant like, over the top. Yeah, exactly.
I'll get you.
Oh my God, Lionel,
He-Man.
Yeah, exactly.
We're
you see the
effeminate master villains.
The fake nails stick
with your big muscles, you beat me this time.
Skeletor.
I'll just come back next time.
Skeletor is just a weird fucking character if you think about it, because he's got like this blue, fleshy body.
Right, yeah.
And then his yellow face. Guess what came on Xbox last week for the Avatars was He-Man.
Oh, really?
And you can be, yeah.
That was an example of a toy line that came out first, and then we want you to write a cartoon around this.
Right.
And Paul Dini was like, all right, well, who are these
actors? In order to market the toys.
Yeah, exactly. But there were no masters of the universe. Here's this guy. All right, we'll call him
the playset. The playset, Skeletor's castle.
Oh,
does anybody have? Oh, Castle Grayskull.
Goo. Yeah.
No. His evil. Goo? The evil castle.
Yeah. Castle Grayskull, dog.
You're right. There was an evil Castle Grayskull. You're right.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
God, you got me on that one.
Did you see that?
Yeah. The Emperor has no clothes.
Right.
Or something.
What did you think of Dolph Lundgren as he?
I was about to bring that up. That was a fucking weird.
That was a stupid.
That was a weird.
That was almost as bad as all the other Dolph Lundgren movies. Dolph Lundgren. Why is
Dolph Lundgren's ever been in a
Dolph
good
Lundgren sucks. Is this? He's.
Wait, has he ever been in a good movie?
I'm sorry.
I can't think. I mean,
I don't consider Expendables a good movie.
No. You consider Rocky
Four is not a good movie. No, not really.
No, he was never in a.
That's probably the best role though. Now you bring it up. I mean, much better than
yeah,
Dolph.
Okay, yeah.
He's not.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God.
Dolph Lundgren playing Frank Castle.
Oh, wow.
He's not a bad performer, but he's a 7-plus-foot tall Swedish guy with big muscles, which makes him impossible.
He's not 7 foot, is he?
No, he's huge. He's huge.
He doesn't play in the NBA.
He's not a power forward, but he could be a point guard. I mean,
why didn't they have
Orko
in the movie?
In the movie?
They had special effects for that at the time.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So there you are.
That's what they're gonna do with
Avatar.
Okay, what's up with this DC Heroes versus Masters of the Universe comic?
You know, I have yet
crossover.
To... I'm curious. I'm about to download it.
That's stupid shit.
I'm gonna... You know what, though? I'm gonna download
it. Yeah, I want to see Batman take on Beastman.
Wait, what about Man of Faces?
Oh, Man of Faces? What about Man of War?
I don't know about that.
Man at Arms, sorry.
Man at Arms, yeah.
It's all right. Well, I'm thinking of X-Men.
Which is Teela's father. I think he was Teela's father, right?
He was Teela's father.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know. But who's going to play?
Who's going to play Man at Arms?
Jeez.
Yeah, so
Tom Selleck.
It's perfect.
Right?
Yeah, I guess that's in shape though. He-Man as an adult that makes it hard to appreciate is the creepy sexual overtones that pervade He-Man. Uh-huh. There are some lingering creepy sexual forces at play in the Masters of the Universe.
Some strange stuff going on.
Beastman and Skeletor. You know,
don't forget Evil Lyn. If you look at it, it was spelled
Evil Lyn.
Yeah, it was spelled Evelyn, but they kind of changed it. Evil Lyn was kind of like, you know, they had to have a woman in there because they have Teela, right?
Right, so they had to have
an evil woman, too, right?
Yeah, then they did the whole She-Ra thing.
Oh, they had She-Ra,
That's right. Well, was She-Ra related?
That was, sister or cousin.
Cousin or something.
Yeah.
Why couldn't they have, like, a super kid together or something?
Because I think that'd be incestuous.
Why do they have to be siblings?
Because they should have not made them siblings.
Needs like a submissive, more feminine type to spill,
to put like tea parts inside of the gray skull. Mm-hmm.
Maybe he and Man like each other. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. Well, when you walk around in that, that's not even a halter top. It covers everything but his nipples.
I don't know about you,
what is He-Man really wearing?
I had all kinds of, you're right.
He's so scantily clad. That's the only sexual thing I've
seen. It's like Conan.
Like
a bandolier. Yeah. It's like some weird, two bandoliers crossed. Yeah. Like, it's like some Vietnam thing. Like, instead of bullets, though, it's like...
There's no functional...
It's like he's getting ready to load his M60 with a strap of these things. I don't know.
That red cross that was almost, kind of... Like a Templar.
Oh, yeah, he did have that. It was almost like the Iron Cross.
Or something, like whatever it was. Yeah.
It was over there. Was he a Nazi?
I don't know. Well, World War One. That'd be World War One,
Jim. But they still had the Iron
But they still used it. You're right.
I'm going to go with the Nazi thing, personally.
Yeah. He was blonde haired and blue eyes. Adam was pale and He-Man was tan.
That's right.
And so, if He-Man's stronger than Adam, then that's a move away from white supremacy. Right. Maybe it's propaganda for
I never Pacific noticed Islanders. That. Yeah, Adam is pale, but then he becomes He-Man. He's got a raging tan.
He's like Schwarzenegger. And I think he goes from platinum blonde to more of a strawberry blonde.
He breaks out of Titanic purity barbarian. Conan. Yeah.
Now, did he get smarter when he was He-Man? Or is this a whole thing?
No, I think he was dumber. He was the same. He was the same.
He was physically different, though.
Because
he was ripped when he was Adam.
He was pretty ripped, but he got more ripped as He-Man, or his shirt just disappeared.
His shirt just disappeared.
It's a totally unnecessary transition. Like, the fact that the He-Man has the secret and that he chooses not to be powerful after
Was it a secret, though?
It
was, because no one knew. No one knew. That Prince Adam was
obviously I'm forgetting the He-Man
because there was times Prince Adam,
even though I had some of his
voice, came and saved us.
Clark Kent is bad with just the glasses. This guy just has a spray on his hand and he becomes a superhero.
He takes his shirt off and picks up a sword. If I take my shirt off and pick up a sword,
who couldn't recognize Battle Fucking Cat? Has this fucking thing, this saber tooth or this bobcat thing. And then all of a sudden, it grows big and wears a mask over, and then no one can...
That's just another green tiger with yellow stripes.
What was the tiger's name when it wasn't Battlecat?
But literally, it's a play on the word coward or something like that, yeah.
Wow.
It was like an obvious...
Oh, you mean his real name?
Yeah, the cat's name before, when he wasn't Battlecat.
All right.
And who couldn't recognize that wasn't Battlecat?
That's not Battlecat.
Yeah.
And why did they have secret identities anyway?
I don't know. That's it. They didn't explain that.
All right. Okay. All right.
Kyle, what's your favorite cartoon?
I hope it's one that we talked about last week.
Nothing too
we
surprising.
Went like, dude, me and Kyle went down like memory lane last week.
We had a long trip down memory lane with the cartoons. The two most obvious ones, I think, no surprise, Transformers and G.I. Joe.
Okay.
G.I. Joe probably was my favorite cartoon because of the whole military American aspect. It was the 80s and Reagan was my hero. You know, don't ask. I was
okay.
A child.
It's all right.
And, you know, G.I. Joe is definitely the coolest. Until I remembered, I was talking to Brian, I was like, how come I stopped liking G.I. Joe? Why did I totally lose interest in G.I. Joe? It was the G.I. Joe movie where they deconstruct the Cobra Commander character.
They had the Cobra Law.
They do Cobra Law.
Cobra Law.
Which was so stupid.
Yeah.
You're like, but it made sense in terms of like, and then, you know, nowadays when I hear like these lizard conspiracy theorists, I'm like, basically they just all saw G.I. Joe, the movie, and forgot about it.
Oh, you mean the David Icke.
Yeah, no, the lizard people. You know,
the Illuminati, lizard...
And the Cobra Law thing
nice
is all...
Kevlar
is that
plan.
From V or something? Remember V?
No, the people that made V knew about the lizard people.
It's
and
a recurring theme.
They just wanted to inform people about this reality.
Gotcha.
So the G.I. Joe is in this current, though, of a shadow organization of lizard people controlling world events, and they cast it as Cobra. You know, the idea of, like, a reptilian... I mean, it goes back to the Naga in like, a Hindu mythology.
Okay.
Of a race of snake people who are controlling world events secretly, or they live underground or whatever.
Sure.
This is a totally recurring mythic theme that some people believe is real. Like, there's another group of people, Christians, who have mythic themes that they actually believe are real. Snake people.
You just lost the majority of our audience. The majority of our audience is Christians.
They're right wing.
God damn it.
Right wing Christians are drawn to science.
Maybe you can edit that out.
Maybe. I'll think about it.
No. It's not like he said no, never mind.
But yeah, G.I. Joe. And
you're like, oh, we just lost Texas.
We just lost all our audience in Texas. But that's okay.
So G.I. Joe, until they did that whole Cobra loss.
Because we gained listeners in Pakistan. Wait, no. I'm sorry.
What?
That doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
What about Transformers, though?
Transformers I liked until they replaced Megatron. What's his name?
Galvatron.
Galvatron.
That was a bad mistake.
The Transformers movie was cool. Not only was it artistically edgy, but to take, like, as a 10-year-old kid, to watch Optimus Prime get gunned down,
and then
the Transformers get brutally slaughtered by the Decepticons is so cool.
And then
the cool.
Planet Eater was coming, and Bumblebee goes,
Well, and then Optimus dies.
That's what he's saying.
They brought him back.
They brought him back as, you know, a new truck, right? He was a different
vehicle. No, they came back as old Optimus, if I remember correctly. Then he got replaced by Hot Rod for a little while.
No, he comes back.
Not a Hot Rod. There was a Transformer named Hot Rod who took the leadership. Yes.
Okay, that's
he
right.
Took the leadership
like
mantle
like
after Optimus died for a little while. That was very cool that they did that in that cartoon, that there was enough... It was kind of, they had like a loose continuity going on in that
one.
Like, it wasn't like if you missed an episode of Transformers, you didn't know what the fuck was going on. But
yeah.
At the same time, like, they would do that. They would kill Optimus in the movie, and on the TV show, he was dead. You know, like,
yeah.
Whoa. That was cool.
And it took place in the future, I believe. It was like, you know, Spike was already grown up. He had his family.
I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a projected timeline. And it was cool. It was cool to see the Decepticons come in and, like, you see, like, five or six of your prize Transformer characters who are in the background, like Prowler, the police car, or whoever, just get slaughtered. You know, like, they're just dead in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And to see that in a Transformers film when you were a kid, you're just like, whoa, they rewrote the rule book. That was cool. I think I would watch it today and still enjoy it. I think it's really well done. It's a Japanese artist, right? Because it's in the...
Transformers was... It was Japanese animation. They just dubbed over with American stuff.
And it's good. Yeah. And it's too bad about Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's...
Although, you know, of all the...
Especially Transformers 2,
of all, like, the movies they've made of, like, nostalgia...
The first one was good.
Of all the movies that have been made of, like, nostalgia cartoons or TV shows or whatever, you know, of all that whole menagerie or genre of, like, you know, Flintstones or whatever, you know. Sure. Transformers is one of the better... Was probably the best done of that whole...
The first one.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, the first one.
And the second one gets weird.
Yeah.
Well, they have those two Scions and they, like... Are you talking about the movie?
Yeah.
And they were just all like ghettified.
There was nothing racist about the meat talking.
Oh, right.
You remember? And their hoses were their dreads.
Yeah.
No, that was.
Oh, the Rasta?
Yes.
Like reggae Decepticons?
Whatever they were.
Oh,
they were like Autobots. Generic hip hop.
Oh, they were the Autobots. I thought they were Decepticons. Never mind.
No, they're Autobots.
Yeah, reggae Decepticons, hip hop Autobots.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. Was. All right. Me, favorite all-time cartoon as a kid. I remember being in third, fourth grade, Robotech.
Wow.
There's nothing else that even compares to Robotech. Robotech had a full-on story. It was like if you missed an episode, you didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
You had to be there at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, you had to watch each episode, and it was compelling, especially when you're a kid. It was like, I mean, I could watch it. I can still watch it now. And I'm like, oh, that was cool. But
it was cool.
Oh yeah, no, it had like character development. It had like tragedy.
Who were those purple skinned people again?
The Zentradi. It was cool because the Zentradi were actually created by this race of aliens called the Masters. And they were the warriors that they created. That's why they were so huge. The whole premise of the cartoon was that it was this escaped ship that crash landed on Earth, that had this type of energy on it called protoculture.
That's right.
It crash lands on Earth and the humans find it and there's a huge world war going at the time. Everyone's like, "Holy shit! This fucking alien ship crashed!" And so, everyone freaks out about it. And there's all of a sudden, like, the world unites, because they're like, "Wow, we got to get ready for these aliens, just in case." Because it was obvious, like, a war vessel that crashed. It was the SDF-1. They build the SDF-1 out of the wreckage. In reality, it's a protoculture factory that lands, they realize how big these aliens are on board, so they build all these Veritech fighters and like all these other gigantic mechs in order to combat the Zentradi because they are like huge. So they had to build these huge robots in order to, like Pacific Rim kind of. It was a compelling story. It's still pretty compelling when you watch it now as an adult.
That's true,
You're like, wow. They had great music. It had really dramatic music and
I just wanted the anime and which is epic, really cool.
Epic battles.
And people died.
Yeah, people died.
They
like Rick,
people
like Rick
died.
Hunter's brother.
Yeah,
just dies. Right. They had this whole episode when he dies and he was having an interracial relationship with one of the woman, God, I can't remember her name right now, but she was running the comm center on the SDF-1, and she was black, and he was white, he was blonde hair, blue eyes,
that's
and everything.
Right.
They didn't even make battle ash about it. They're just we love each other, we're having a relationship here, and she decided to, when he dies though, she's like all distraught, and Rick Hunter, everyone's like mourning for him, and it carries on into further episodes where they remember him, and like, no, it was a fucking well done cartoon, and they also, and not only that, but they took other cartoons from Japan and just like made the story fit and made it seem like it was huge. So they took this other one and they made the Southern Cross, which was like the follow up to Macross Saga.
Yeah.
And that was like basically like, a lot of the Robotech Defense Force went off, became the Robotech Expeditionary Force because they were going to go find the aliens in their home world and defeat them there rather than waiting for them to come to Earth. And so they had, set out. So that was a story about when the Masters, the people that had built the Zentradi, that had created the Zentradi genetically, show up at Earth because it's like, okay, it's on. We want our protoculture factory back.
and because there's a shortage of protoculture in the universe.
Okay.
And
so they're there to collect.
So they want their protoculture back, and the masters.
Where did you find the receipts, Slayer?
So the masters show up in Southern Cross, and there's the Southern Cross Defense Force is there. It's named after the constellation.
Sure.
But and then so there's like the second story arc, and then they have a third one, this new generation, where a bunch of the members from the expeditionary force that left from Earth, the generations that they've had on out in space, come back to Earth.
Wow.
And Earth has been invaded and conquered by this alien race called the Invid.
Okay.
And the Invid have always been at war with the masters over the protoculture. So they created this whole vast, like, really cool.
That's crazy, dude.
It was an awesome cartoon.
I remember when Robotech would come on first, and then following Robotech was Voltron?
Yes.
That was badass.
That's close, like Japanese animation.
Yeah, yeah, totally. It was anime hour.
Like early anime hour, right?
Yeah,
right. Totally. Like the
badass, dude.
Yeah, and Voltron was cool. But Voltron was not Robotech.
No, totally.
It didn't have the story that Robotech
had. People didn't die. It wasn't as, like, you know.
And Voltron was like piecemeal.
Robotech was scary for me because.
And Voltron was like episodic. It was like you could watch an episode of Voltron and know perfectly the whole story. You didn't need any explanation. It was just like each. It was like G.I. Joe, for the most part. Like, each was a self-contained 22-minute episode, and you just watch it, you'd be like, oh, that was cool, but Voltron, at the end, Voltron transformed to Voltron and cut him in two with the sword. Every episode. You're just waiting for it. You're like, here he goes! Yes! Voltron!
Just five lines.
It was like some ritual.
With Voltron, it was like, why don't they just do it in the beginning? You know, they always try to tackle whatever threat it is in their separate...
That's right.
They fail. Can't, because they suck.
Kind of like Power Rangers almost.
Yeah, they're like, no, let's not break out Voltron just yet.
Okay, we won't.
We're good on our own. They go in there, they get their ass kid for a little while. One of them is in flames, and you know.
And then
one of them goes, wait, guys, we've been through this. What happens? We got to become Voltron to win. Yeah, let's do that Voltron thing.
And then
they win. Voltron always wins decisively. Like, he's never even challenged. Like, he just the cut of his blade or whatever. You know, he's so badass. They're like, why don't they just go? What?
Right. I think the assumption was that people watching Voltron, nobody was going to watch every episode of Voltron. So we got to do the same thing every episode.
Voltron is
this might be the only episode they ever see.
That's right.
Yeah, you see one episode of Voltron, you have seen them all. Really felt very.
Yeah, I know. Lincoln was watching Voltron a year or so ago, and I was like, wow. This is the same episode every episode.
There's no chance. They have a different threat that the Voltron.
And they keep doing the same shit.
What are they called again? The group of people.
Oh, wow.
Who become Voltron. They have a name.
Green Lion.
Are they lions?
Yeah, they're lions, right?
They're all lions.
Yeah, Green Lion.
Blue Lion.
Not even creative.
Assemble.
Red Lion. Green Lion.
The new Voltron cartoon that came out. Recently,
yeah,
and I guess I saw the trailer,
it's better than the original.
Yeah, no, it's a lot better.
Is it computer generated or is it hand drawn?
It's hand drawn.
It's a lot of both. It's both. I mean, all cartoons.
The space scene is not completely CGI.
And it still has like a Japanese.
It looks good. The pilot basically is everyone's like trying. There's tryouts to become. One of the pilots of the Lions.
The story is a little more sophisticated.
Okay,
it's
that's
kind
good.
Of cool,
okay.
Yeah.
It's not as generic. Voltron fighting some random gigantic.
You couldn't do that again.
Voltron is like Popeye. Ineffective.
Why does that motherfucker always just bust out spinach?
And for the beginning, he never has it on him. He's always like, oh, if only I brought spinach to this bar fight. Damn it. And you watch
him. He really gets
his ass kicked. Like, he gets brutalized. You know, like, in South Park, when he's being raped by the small animals, it's like that whole, you know, thing. Like, yeah, you watch... You basically watch Popeye get emasculated, humiliated, mm-hmm. until finally someone's like, tosses him the spinach, you know, hey! And then, you know, always squeeze it into his mouth.
I missed that South Park.
How'd you feel about Robin Williams playing Popeye?
Oh, he did a great job.
That was
great.
You asked the guy to play Popeye, play
and
Popeye.
He did it.
They did a good job with that movie.
Just like he did Captain
Hook. That was awesome. That was a good movie.
That
like
was a good movie. Yeah.
He was
say what you will about Hook.
But he was a fucking badass Captain Hook. All right.
No, he was.
Oh, no, you're better bad. I'm sorry, Jesus.
It was Dustin.
Yeah, Hoffman. Dustin Hoffman. Dustin Hoffman was a great Captain Hook, and you know, yeah, those two guys did great in that movie. What killed it was the Lost Boys.
Yeah,
I just like the Lost Boys. They fucked it up because the Lost Boys are
Rufio.
So cool.
He was like
Rufio. I've got the pan sword now.
He was this little. He was like this.
The merchandising shtick.
I'm glad they killed him off.
They sold you the pan sword, and they sold you the hook. Like, you could buy the same hook in a shitty costume shop for $10, but like the official merchandise hook was like $25. Yeah, the hook merchandise.
Because it said a hook on it.
Right. That's right. It said hook on it.
It did say hook on it. Wow.
Like, the hook action figures. People, this is a hook.
They were cool.
I don't remember the hook action figures being cool, but
I don't even remember the action figures. I think that movie came out in 91, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
All right. Now change topics.
Sure.
Okay.
We're going to talk about... Before we started recording, we were talking... We watched the trailer for the new Gotham City. The Gotham City TV show coming out.
Sure.
Just simply old titled Gotham. Reactions. Camacho? You're the DC fanboy here. Reactions.
You know, one problem that I already see right off the bat, I don't know how they're made... You know, I see where they're trying to lead up to it, but for right now, like, Penguin, number one, is skinny, and he's some low-level, like, thug.
But it's a young Penguin, right?
Yes, but regardless, you know, Steve, you'll agree with me on this. Penguin is a Cobblepot, which was a very, like, affluent part of Gotham in its early years, and was wealthy. Now, they were somewhat the black sheep of the wealth, you know, status of Gotham. And so, from what I'm gathering in this trailer, is that Penguin... Again, is not he doesn't have a few extra pounds on him. He looks emo or hipsterish.
He looks hipsterish, right?
And
you gotta do that.
And he's not wealthy.
That's not the show's fault. That's just
poor, you know. That's producing.
That's people's fault.
For liking that.
And I'm already. It's like, you know, they're trying to do an origin. You know, story of the city Gotham and why and how it becomes, you know, just a cesspool of just shit. You know what I mean? Of villains and corrupt and you know, from politicians to the citizens. But you know, already, you know, and I didn't really have a problem with Catwoman. You know, they showed this girl being, you could tell it's Catwoman. They showed the Riddler, which was cool, but Penguin, I'm having a problem already with the Penguin's character.
Right.
Jada Pinkett Smith is in it, and I think they just made up her villain character. She's called something like something fish, red fish or something. But and I think she's the head of Gotham, like, you know, the head of she's the snake's head, I guess, that's, you know, that pulls the strings. But again, I'm having a big problem with Penguin. I don't like it.
Okay, so that's your main concern?
Yeah.
More
than a concern, I have a fucking problem with it.
Steve, reaction?
If they could take any point of Bruce's life and make a show or movie out of it, and I would watch it. You can go from birth to death, and I would watch any part of it. That's how into the character I am. So the idea behind it, I'm totally on board with. I'm cool. I'm not, you know, bored with it or anything like that. I'm just terrified that they're going to have plenty of good ideas, just like Arrow has plenty of good ideas.
Right.
But Arrow is written poorly and overacted. And if this show is written as badly as Arrow and overacted as badly as Arrow,
it's
going to
fail.
Well, I'm not going to like it. I don't know. It might be successful. Arrow was very successful, but I can't stomach it.
It might be upsetting.
Yeah, exactly.
I know it's an origin of again the birth of how Gotham. It's not it's not revolved around Batman. It's a origin of the city again and its criminals. But when have we ever seen James Gordon without a fucking mustache? I'm just curious.
Not only that, but if you take year one, as canon,
he has a mustache.
I'm not saying he has a mustache. He was a cop in Chicago before he comes to Gotham.
Of course.
Clearly, he says, "Oh, I was working in Chicago." And he's already older. That continuity, that's already thrown out.
Exactly.
So it doesn't matter if he has a mustache or not.
You think so?
Because obviously they're not playing off the continuity of the comic book.
No, they're not. And if you want to show that he's young, I guess don't put a mustache on him. Maybe this guy can't grow. Maybe that actor really can't grow a good mustache. Maybe it's like what's his name, McAvoy in X-Men, who has in his contract that he will not play Xavier bald.
Wow.
He won't do it. I don't know, some aesthetic thing. Maybe he fucking thinks his head looks ugly when it's shaved. But he won't do it, even though the part calls for it.
He only plays a young one, though. So.
I know, but I mean, at some point you should see...
Yeah, because it's iconic.
It's iconic, exactly. I have to remember that, he's Xavier.
Right. You're right. Kyle, how do you feel about this Gotham trailer?
I'm not loving the concept. I think to do a Batman TV show while there's a simultaneous cinematic Batman reboot taking place is an overkill of Batman.
Okay.
It seems to be like jumping on a bandwagon, safe investment, to do another Batman TV show. I think it sounds like a Batman version of Muppet Babies. They're like, let's do them all in high school.
Or the Flintstone kids or something.
I think they're jumping on the teenage... they're trying to do a marketing trick. They're trying to market the teenage demographic. And they got to, hit the... What is that god-awful thing that I hate? Twilight. They got to tap into that crowd. And this is how they're doing it. It's the Joss Whedon model. Okay. Storytelling, with Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, I have tried over and over to enjoy Joss Whedon TV shows. I really like Avengers. I like the Avengers movies.
Well, you're not a 17-year-old girl.
People love Buffy.
There's fucking 9 seasons or whatever of Buffy.
Musical theater people and teenage girls like Firefly.
The movie was good.
I can't get it. I can't do it.
I watched... there's not that many Firefly. There's only one season of Firefly.
Right.
And I watched it. It's so average. Some of the characters are kind of likable, but that's it.
They're all cookie-cutter series.
And Serenity's only decent if you've seen the TV show.
Sure. I did the opposite, though. I watched
Serenity
first.
That movie would be horrible.
I watched Serenity first, and then I went back to watch this.
You watched the first? Yeah, okay.
I watched the beat, and then after I was like, hey, what the fuck? I was like, oh.
So you went back to the TV show?
I went back to the TV show, and it made totally sense. And
you're like, oh, that wasn't worth it.
I wasn't like,
it's not horrible. It's just like super.
I wasn't wetting my socks over it or anything,
And obviously, enough people have found it, compelling. I don't know if that speaks to.
I think it speaks more to women. A lot of women like Joss Whedon more. I don't know.
I can think of a lot of guys. I can think of just many guys.
There's a lot of girls.
There's a lot of guys like Buffy too, though.
Yeah, there is.
But I've met more women that love Firefly.
Okay.
Yeah. They just love. I don't know. Maybe it's because of what's his name? The guy that
main character is a cowboy.
There's a lot of highly attractive women in Firefly.
Well, sure, there's a certain type of nerd that really likes Firefly.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think musical theater, ballet, martial arts, maybe
martial arts.
I keep forgetting that. Guy's name that played
yoga instructors.
I don't know.
No, yoga instructors are too cool to watch Firefly.
They don't watch TV. All right.
if they do, it's just hours.
We only watch indie films. Okay. My reaction to Gotham is that first of all, I'm hoping that they're going to tie it into to the DC.
That's
movies.
What we're all hoping. I don't think that's
because well, because they have Agent, Marvel has Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and they and say what you. I've only seen a couple episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and it's very average. I heard that the second half of the season is much better than the first half. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, I know.
And everyone, when they start tying it in with Captain America, sure. too. And it's a great concept that they're tying it in with movies, and it's a TV show, and it's all
you're
the
right,
same universe.
Right.
And I think that DC should really be trying to compete with Marvel on this. And
I should,
think.
But they can't they because the Gotham TV show takes place today. It's a contemporary TV show. It doesn't take place in the past, and the Batman vs. Superman movie doesn't take place
in
the future.
No, you're right. They should be having it take place in the past.
They should. No,
it
totally.
Should be. However old they want to make Batman the movie, it should be taking place 20 years, or, you know, or however long.
Well, how...
However old they want to make...
When was Ben Affleck?
Okay, Ben Affleck's
10 years old.
How old was Ben Affleck? 40, you know?
I'd say, like, maybe 42, 43 of that. I think he's a few years old.
I mean, he's in great shape and everything.
Sure. So when was he 10? 30 years ago?
Yeah.
12, 30. I mean, I think he's 7 when his.
So it should be taken place in this time period.
Like
I agree.
12,
so. I agree.
80.
I also, I'm also hoping that they're going to take the whole Scott Snyder approach in the books when, the books that we've loved, like, Gates of Gotham.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
I'm hoping they're going to take some of that same mythology and infuse it into the TV show.
Well, that's what I think.
With the court, well, you talk about the Cobblepots.
Yeah,
that's what made me think about it
because
all the different families that Snyder
totally.
Brings up and presents, like in the early origins of Gotham City. And I really like how Snyder created made Gotham its own character in a lot of ways. And so I was excited when I first heard about this Gotham show, but the more I see the trailers, the more disappointing it looks.
I think it's very unlikely that the show will be great. I think if it is executed and acted well, it could be watchable. All
right.
I'm definitely not watching.
I just wish that, DC, like how Marvel, led up to the Avengers where everyone had their individual movie. Mm-hmm. I was really hoping that they would jump, and they just didn't. And
DC is good at making an animation.
I know.
But DC came to the game late.
Yeah,
they don't have time to give everyone their own movie. So Batman v Superman with Wonder Woman in parentheses.
They already have a template presented to them. They should be able to do this. I suppose. They should be trying to tie in Arrow, too. They should be able to just take What's-His-Face and throw him in the Justice League movie. What's his name from Arrow?
Well, whatever his name.
Fucking, yeah.
I don't know the actor's name.
Amel. Stephen, whatever the fuck. Amel. I don't know. I don't know.
It's just too bad that...
They could go either way.
Sure.
It might be pretty good.
Each character had their own movie to lead up to the Justice League. Oh, sure, they're copying,
And I hope they don't. I hope they don't have a young. I really hope they don't have a lot of a young Bruce Wayne. I want it to be about Gotham. I want it to be about the people that.
I think that's what they're.
I want to see Bruce Wayne leave and go on his 7 years away. Training and becoming Batman. Like, I want to see what's happening when he's away.
That's what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I don't think it is because he doesn't.
We're watching that trailer tonight. And I was like,
that might just be the.
There was like scene after scene of a kid Batman who just had his kid. Who just had his family murdered.
But I think just the pilot. I think that's just going to be the pilot, and then we're going to see that we're not going to see any more.
7 years later, and then we find out Bruce is abroad. Gordon's been a cop in Gotham for a few years now.
Maybe that's where they're going to lead up to. I completed Zero Year.
Yeah.
I fucking hated it. I'm so disappointed in it.
I haven't read it all yet. No.
So I'm just letting you know.
I haven't read it yet. Maybe we could probably talk about
the reason why I brought it up. We're talking about the origin of what it, and so they tried to do. And I just felt like I wasted my time.
Well, let's not get too into Zero Year.
We'll do.
You can edit that out
because I love. No. Obviously, I'm a big fan of Scott Snyder's work on Batman, and I'd be highly surprising to see him make something terrible or write something terrible,
I thought it was
especially bad. After the stuff he's put out.
Yeah.
Sure. That's why I was so hoping that, come on, this is gonna get better, right? And it just wasn't. The campfire
just
died out.
I might need to edit this up because, who introduces the show.
Of course, but I'm not saying... But that might just be one fail of his. That's it. The one that I didn't, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Careful.
Campfire. The
careful.
Campfire.
I might get like an email from Spellfire demanding. Sponsor, yeah. So he might tweet me demanding me to like take his name off of off of Shed Talk. Right.
Or he could just like request that I be a part of it since I.
All right. It's gonna be like either you get rid of Camacho.
Yeah, totally.
It's me or Camacho.
Either Camacho is just a well watcher now, or.
We'll have to discuss later.
Yeah, we'll talk about where we are later. All right. I did ask you guys to come here and talk about something more serious tonight. It is September 8th, and it's going to be 3 more days. But yeah, it's going to be, how many years now?
2001, 13, so 13, 15, yeah.
13 years, and it still seems like it was almost
just like yesterday.
A little bit. Yeah, it's a very vivid memory. For me, at least.
I knew exactly. I mean,
where were you when it happened, Camacho?
I was in Spain. I was living in Madrid.
And that's interesting.
That live.
And that's very.
It was 3 o'clock our time in Madrid. Yeah. While it was happening 9 o'clock in the morning, which were Madrid 6 hours ahead of New York, which is 3 hours ahead of the West Coast. So it was 6 o'clock here, you know, in California. But it was already 3 o'clock. In the afternoon, and I was getting ready for work, and I was just like, wow, man,
home?
Yeah, I was getting ready for work. I was just getting some paella cooked for me, and I was just about to go teach a class, and what the news came on that, you know, a plane hit one of the towers, and, you know, the person that I was dating at the time was a flight attendant. And I said, check this out. A plane hit the freaking, you know, the one of the towers. And it's like, wow, that's kind of odd. So, long story short, you know how, you know, it's just the whole stories of, you know, other planes, you know, hitting, or a plane hitting the Pentagon, and then one crashed in Pennsylvania, I believe, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Plane just dropping out of the air, basically, and it was just like so surreal that I couldn't, like, I still went to work, and they sent me home. They were gathering anyone that was, like, you know, in my company that was American. They were sending us to the office and, you know, kind of keeping us there for the, you know, day and a half. They didn't want us going out. It was kind of weird, like they were trying to, you know, make sure we weren't out and about for some reason. But it was pretty surreal. It was weird. I did the thing that kind of turned my stomach is that, you know, I had only been in Madrid for a year, and I wasn't able to be home, like, on American soil for this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't be.
Did you feel like a sense of guilt about that? Or?
No, but okay. I just, like, it's just like, wow, like, I couldn't be home. I couldn't be here in the States. To, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? To support or to be a part of, you know, the consoling, or, you know, the unification back up, from.
How were Spaniards reacting?
Oh, the day after, everybody was wearing like red, white, and blue.
Really?
Everybody was wearing red, white, and blue.
That's
a lot of Ralph Lauren polo. Red and white. Yeah.
Tommy Hill.
That's what I meant. Tommy Hill figure. A lot of red and white striped shirts. A lot of like girls wearing like blue with white stars. You know, that was going on for at least the first like 3 or 4 days. It was like, wow, like, all right, that was pretty heartwarming, you could say. You know, so that made up for me not being able to be here in the States.
Yeah.
You know.
Steve, where were you?
I have a similar but radically different story. I was in Serbia visiting family, so I was also in Europe.
Wow.
But my sister and I, my sister and I were flying back to the States a week later on the 18th.
So
we were scared.
This is obviously in the context of our post intervention in Bosnia.
Exactly. In Kosovo. Specifically,
right.
That. So, first of all, we're all having like lunch outside, big family lunch. You know, lunch is like the big meal, stuff like that. My aunt calls me inside. They had satellite TV. She calls me inside. She said, come see what's going on in America. It was mid-afternoon.
Sure.
I don't think we're maybe one time zone away from Spain.
Sure.
To the east. But they called us in, and my sister and I come in, and we see one plane had already gone into the first hour, and my first reaction was, you fucking backwards Eastern European. You don't know a movie when you're watching one. This is a Michael Bay movie or something like that. You can't. Yeah, I know it's got CNN there, but who cares? That's what they put in the movies. Right. But then I kept watching and I realized, oh my god, this is.
But wait, I really am watching CNN.
This really is CNN.
Yeah.
But the kicker was that I was surrounded by people because of Kosovo and stuff like that. I was surrounded by people who, my uncle specifically.
Because of the bombing campaign.
Yeah, exactly. The bombing campaign. There was a maternity ward. That's what they keep citing. That's their badge of fucking horror, that we bombed a maternity ward during that campaign. But anyways, my aunt had to stop my uncle from taking a gun outside, as is their custom, to shoot it in the air in celebration. Because they're so tribal over there.
Right.
This was America getting its comeuppance. It was not, they couldn't process that it was, you know, a loss of human life. And when they saw my sisters and my reaction of sorrow, the closest they could come was, oh, I get it. You identify more as American than Serbian. You identify more with those people. I get it. Still the tribalism. Still like the whole. No, I'm like trying to explain to them. No, I don't care if it fucking happened in New York or in Dubai or in fucking Tokyo.
Right.
Do you realize how many fucking people just died? Innocent people just died? They don't think like that. They don't think like humans. Wow. We are pre-divided into tribes.
These are your relatives.
These are my relatives and cousins. I mean, various. Man. You have degrees of separation. Yeah.
The only reason I emphasize that is because it's not. You're not just making an abstraction of people that you don't.
No. We didn't. When I say we, I'm saying Serbs. We didn't get the benefits of the Enlightenment.
Right.
To a large extent, civil rights and shit is...
We're behind the iron curtain.
Exactly, we were. But even before that, the Cold War, we were under Ottoman Turks and shit like that, while the Austro-Hungarian Empire was flourishing and technological advancements were, you know, fucking...
Wow, I think that's really interesting that you're both in foreign countries when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the diversity of reactions, obviously Spain being an ally, a member of NATO, and the opposite of Serbia.
Yeah, exactly.
Slobodan Milosevic was still in power, I'm sure, right?
2001, I can't remember.
No, he wasn't.
Not anymore. Probably not. I think they've had free elections by then.
I can't remember when he got ousted off the top of my head right now. Right.
Yeah, they were trying to get him to The Hague by then.
Everything was over by the end of the 90s.
Okay, you're right. The war, my memory of that is fading, but still. It's been replaced by all this other intensity.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
or intenser
shit.
There's
no shortage of.
Kyle, what do you remember?
I remember I woke up, I was staying at my girlfriend's house. And she came home from class and woke me up and said, Kyle, the World Trade Center got bombed. And the first thing I said was, oh, again?
Yeah.
And she said, no, like, they blew it up. And then I was like, oh, that's big. I think my first thought was kind of, you know, I was a college student in Humboldt State, so I was kind of like, oh, this is the fat cats getting their comeuppance. You know, this is, you know, kind of the emperor has no clothes. And then when I started looking at all the images and hearing the stories of New Yorkers who were involved in it, it took on a very different reality. It was just kind of a horrible, random act of mass murder was how I saw it. And then I was subsequently more disturbed by a lot of Americans' reaction to it. My cousin, who was in the L.A. County Jail at the time. Sorry, cousin. I didn't say your name, but you know...
They're all in jail listening to this, right?
Listening to this. Well, he's out for a while. Okay. Let's hope he, yeah. He's telling me, like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that day, anyone who's an Arab has got their ass kicked.
Wow.
And I'm hearing stuff like this, and then I'm seeing the reaction of people like Ann Coulter, and I was really disgusted with a lot of the American reaction. You know, we're going to get them Arabs. I'm like, you don't know who them Arabs are yet. Right. Like, you know, my thing was like, first let's determine with a reasonable amount of certainty who actually perpetrated the attack. That was on nobody's mind. Nobody was saying that. Everybody was saying, let's get them. It's obvious who they are.
Mm-hmm.
The president's like, well, it's, you know, they're in Afghanistan. Okay, that makes sense. I mean, we're going to invade Iraq. You know, I was confused by that. The agenda for invading Iraq being linked with 9/11 made utterly no sense to me.
Well, yeah, the whole 9/11 was obviously used as a was partially used as a pretext. There is lots of reasons they wanted it.
And I'm not coming from a place of judgment or saying the right wing screwed up after 9/11. It's interesting to see the kind of hysteria that was invoked
mm-hmm.
when Americans realized that we were not impervious to external attack. And that, it did the same thing to me. It was a trip. You know, you think of all these conspiracy theories about truthers and that the U.S. caused 9/11. Sorry, I don't believe you. But the reason I don't believe you is
to say sorry.
This hinges upon the assumption that the United States government is not capable of incompetence. And I think the sad truth of 9/11 is that, they dropped the ball. They may, you know, they could have prevented it. What do you mean guys with box cutters took down a building? Yes, that's frightening to embrace that reality. It's much more secure to imagine that our government has secret evil robots that exist in
remote control
planes, cruise missiles into the Pentagon.
Yeah, right.
And you can't make cell phone calls from 50,000 feet.
Yeah. Well, steel doesn't burn at that temperature.
What you're
saying kind of it sounds like you might be echoing South Park. Do you know the South Park episode about 9/11?
It's been a while.
9/11 conspiracies. Are a government conspiracy. The government was so incompetent, it
like
needs people to continue being afraid of
it's
it.
Like
and so, it, yeah, right, right. So it comes up with a 9/11 conspiracy. Right,
well, my whole thing with Roswell is that, everyone believes a bunch of aliens crash here when in reality it was like a secret plane or like some some Cold War shit going on there, or like a Russian plane craft or something. Right. Something crashed in the desert. And they're like, it was aliens, guys.
Oh, yeah, aliens. Don't tell anyone.
Believe anything but the truth. You know,
right, exactly.
Let's make it seem like we covered it up with aliens.
But the aliens are what we're covering up.
Obviously I was going to Humboldt State up here. I was getting ready for class. I was already awake and stuff.
And it was your birthday?
It was my birthday. I'm in the shower.
Sorry about that, by the way.
It's all right. It was a fucked up birthday.
That's a shit birthday.
Let's put it this way. Everyone forgot about my birthday.
This is damaged Andrew for
It still carries over. People don't forget my birthday anymore.
On 9/11, I go, Andrew, happy birthday! He's like, thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you. Now, with the kids now, though, you know, like, they were all, like, little kids at the time, so they don't remember quite as well. But, I was in the shower, and then and Julia, my girlfriend at the time, just before we got married, and we're not married anymore, but anyway, Julia comes and, she tells me, hey, your mom just called, said to turn the TV on. And I turned the TV on, and World Trade, you know, the first tower had been hit. And I was like, oh, wow. And then people were like, oh, a plane hit the World Trade Center. And I was just thinking it was, like, some small plane. But I was like, oh, wow. It was hard to see because I've never actually been to New York, and I never actually saw the old World Trade Center. So I didn't really, in my mind, fathom how big those buildings are, you know what I mean? And I'm from San Diego, and I've been through lots of big cities, but I've never been to New York and seen the skyscrapers in New York. You know, like the biggest I've seen are in LA and San Francisco. You know, which are pretty big, but it's not fucking New York. No. Or Chicago, or so I didn't really get the scale of the building, so I didn't realize how big the hole was. You know. I didn't realize it was stories. I was like, wow, some little plane hit the World Trade Center. Wow, you know. And at the time, people were making it sound like it was an accident. Like, oh shit, a fucking plane hit the World Trade Center. That's crazy, you know.
Yep.
And that's how it was kind of being presented by the media. And so all these cameras from all over the city in New York were all pointed at the World Trade Center. And it was obvious, you realize it later on how it was planned, by how it was insidiously planned to be like this.
Sure.
So that all eyes were already watching this accident, this quote-unquote accident that took place. And you could tell, so that when the second plane hit, like, every fucking camera that was in the city was pointed at that engine, so that it was recorded from every fucking angle, and every person on it that was, like, collect, like, you saw it live on TV, right?
Yeah,
the second plane hit.
Yeah,
I saw the second plane hit live. Yeah. Did you see it live? So all three of us from different parts of the world saw the second plane hit. And it was insidiously planned to be like that, so that we could all see it happen. It was sickly brilliant. And it was conducted perfectly. And and when we really think about, like, just how it's insidious in that it was clearly just targeted. I mean, it was classic, it was terrorism. I mean, it's classic. Anybody out there tries to make some weird argument that, you know, anything's war is terror. No, that was like, what, that's, it was designed to invoke terror. It was designed to clearly
targeted civilian targets.
It was a soft target. It was a civilian target. There wasn't going to be any kind of military opposition to it because it was just these huge buildings in the middle of a city. Who would do that? Mm-hmm. Who would attack these people that had nothing to do with Afghanistan? That had nothing to do with, you know, other than that it was some kind of opposition or some kind of, like, something that was contrary to their beliefs and how the world should conduct itself.
That was the only
itself.
Reason why they...
That was the only reason I was done.
Sure.
It was the only reason I was done. They had been Al-Qaeda had been in a state of war with the U.S. for years before that. Whether we recognized it or not, they were. They were attacking us for years.
Sure.
We might have treated it like a gnat attack, you know, like biting with
a nuisance,
biting an elephant or something. Yeah. But obviously the gnat, like, hit us in the eye or something that day.
Yeah.
To see that happen, and then I actually went to class after that. Like, I didn't know what else to do.
People show up to class?
Yeah, people were showing up, and people were confused. One of the strangest days of my life, because I showed up to class. I was taking History of Western Civilization at the time. And I showed up to my History of Western Civilization class, and it was just so strange to hear what people were saying. Like, it was shocking. You really got to see people's true colors, because, you know, HSU has a diversity of different types of thinking people, which is cool. And but, like, the really, really far left people were just off the hook that day. They were saying the craziest stuff you've ever... There was this one girl sitting behind me. The Chinese did it!
Oh, my God.
The Chinese did it!
Oh, my God.
Wow. I'm not kidding.
Like, wow.
Yeah. It was like... And I had just gotten back from China. Like, I had just gotten back from China, like, a month before, and I just turned to her with this sickened look, like, the Chinese... You know, I was just like, the Chinese... No interest in attacking us whatsoever. They want to make business deals with us. They don't want to be fucking...
One of the newscasters in
Spain. No, but why were they clashing planes?
Exactly. It's like one of the news stations of plane was in Spain was trying to confirm if China had a hand in it.
And not only that, was like racist. It was like this borderline racist stuff coming from the far left people, because they had... It was like this, these poor Arab people couldn't do that, you know? It was crazy.
Oh, my God.
Right. And I mean racist in that.
The stereotype.
Oh, they don't have the capacity to do that. Right. That's what I mean by it.
Yeah. No, well, totally.
Clearly they do, but I mean...
That's what they were thinking at the time.
Right, but...
I mean, what are they going to do with a bunch of sand, right?
Right. No.
Exactly. Same sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it was shocking. And there were so many thoughts going through your head. It's like, was this like a sophisticated... Was this like a country... Like a sophisticated... Like a country that plotted this? Was this a, you know...
A group?
Am I going to be going to war?
Yeah.
You know, am I going to be, you know...
Yeah, am I going to be drafted for the war?
Or drafted, or am I... I was thinking, am I going to go volunteer? Seriously, I wasn't thinking about getting drafted. I was like, do I need to go fucking take up arms here? Is this like something real?
I was sitting there thinking,
is there going to be more attacks?
Yeah, being drafted was my reality. I really did not want to be drafted into an armed conflict. And, you know, we weren't. Whether or not, in retrospect, that was a moral choice, that only our volunteer army, you know, battled it out in Iraq for 15 years or however long we were there, while the rest of us could just sit at home and watch it on television, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that, in retrospect. But
even taking Iraq out of the equation, just talk about Afghanistan. Which is clear, well, you know, that was at the time, that's where Al-Qaeda was based.
And I think that the decision to go to war seems to be taken lightly. There seems to be this notion that the military is a professional, small organization that can accomplish our national goals, regardless of what the rest of the nation feels or thinks about it. And I don't think that that is a positive trend. I think that if we're going to go to the extent of putting our citizens in a foreign country to project military and lethal force, that we should all be behind it and that we should all be participating in some way.
Sure. Right.
I don't think it's right to just externalize and say, well, this group of specialists who kill people, while we criticize them from whatever perspective we think they're wrong from afar, let's send them over there as do the dying while we chill at home.
And that was the real... okay, obviously there's a lot of stupid shit about the Bush administration. I'm a pretty liberal person, and I disagree with a lot of the things that the Bush administration did, obviously. And I'm not going to get too far into it because I'm going to keep this to, you know, just our reactions and our thoughts about that day, and not extend it too far. But there is like you were saying, people in Spain were wearing red, white, and blue.
Mm-hmm.
There was people all over the world that had real sympathy and had a real feel of unity with us because they know how, extending all the way back to the end of World War II, there is a sense of there all of a sudden, like it might not have been there
like
before.
The loss was felt,
but there was a loss, it rippled, and it absolutely, and there was a collective sentiment like, wow, you know, people do owe the United States something, at least Western, the West does, especially in the context of looking at it from World War II.
Yep.
And the amount of loss that we accepted in World War II, and the amount of conflict and fighting that our citizens voluntarily took on in that conflict.
Sure.
And how we basically preserved Western civilization at the time, but how we literally preserved
what we believe, at least
our concept of democracy in the face of fascism, of extreme fascism. There was a real sentiment that came out that was like, wow, you know, like this is fucked up. Right? This is like, who are these people and why are they, you know, why did they do that?
Yep.
And then we had this administration who just blundered that sentiment. It was like, we had a president that goes on TV, live on TV, days after it happened, and tells us to not worry about it and go shopping?
Yeah.
That's sick. It's like, let's just go shopping. You know? Let's forget about, like you were saying, about we can just sit at home and watch our guys, like, go fight. Like, it's a video game, right?
Yeah,
that's messed up. I absolutely
agree. And we made video games about that war.
Yeah.
That we've already had. That's disturbing.
And that's just our free market, though, being fucked up. But that's one of the faults of, you know, freedom. But, or, I don't know, it's not real freedom. Anyway, we can argue about that. But, let's talk about the people that attacked us. Obviously, these aren't free-thinking people. I'm going to say it nicely. This is an entity, radical Islam, not just Al-Qaeda, radical Islam in general has become an existential threat to Western civilization and the foundations of Western civilization. It's a threat in that they are contrary to many of the core philosophical beliefs that have founded us. They are in complete opposition to scientific inquiry. I'm talking about the liberal aspects of our society, the deeply liberal, the scientific inquiry, the equality of women, but the emancipation of women.
That's the dark ages.
The separation of church and state.
This is a dark ages philosophy.
Absolutely.
People are serious, and the naive optimism of so many people in reaction who have sympathy. If 9/11 didn't fill me with a distaste for radical fundamentalist tribal Islam, and I'm going to add militant to that, you know,
yeah, right.
Then the video, the number of videos of guys getting their heads sawed off for right. converting to Christianity or whatever, while a bunch of lunatics around repeat "God is great," you know, or you know, Ibrahim or whatever they're doing, it's creepy. It's like it's like watching a satanic ritual. To see, you know, if I saw Catholic people doing the same thing, I would have the same reaction. It's not because it's Islam. In a spiritual setting, to be sawing somebody's head off and playing with the head in a grotesque, I mean, this is sick. This is sick. This is some Jeffrey Dahmer yeah. shit.
And let me reemphasize. I'll do the generic reemphasis here. I'm not anti-Islam. I was a religious studies major in college. I studied many religions. I have a pretty good understanding of the core beliefs behind Islam. I'm not going to say I'm an expert or anything. I have respect for a lot of their philosophical system. I think that at one point in history, they were the pinnacle of civilization at the time. They made Europe look like fucking a dump. You know what I mean? They made Europe look like fucking a bunch of dirty ingrates. Mm-hmm. And they were at the pinnacle of science. So they were absolutely. Science and everything. And something happened along the way. You know, where there's a collective shame or guilt that is, or there's some kind of collective shame that happens.
Anti-elitism,
and a lot of secularism, and a lot of radical Islam is this reiterance by certain individuals, certain leaders within these groups that they keep bringing back the caliphates. Mm-hmm. This resurgence. We're gonna bring back the glory days again.
It's fascism. It's the same thing that was happening in Germany in the 1940s. Not the same thing. I'm sorry, but
not identical. But similar,
you could identify the same group mob rule mentality mechanism by which
anger.
There's a nationalistic identity with anger. And let's get back to where we were, and how dare these pigs treat us this way? We're the fucking center of civilization, right. And let's take it back by force. And then that leads to all kinds of crazy ideas.
And there's a racist element to it too.
You got to look at
or a theological. It's more theological than racist, mm-hmm. but
But I do think the amount of absolute racism and disrespect towards that entire region of the world and all its peoples by a lot of American people.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's palpable. I mean, I'm sure half of my extended family in Texas.
Absolutely.
You know, hear the things they say about Islam or about Arab people is disturbing.
To have the amount of information and knowledge that we have at our fingertips from technology and the freedom that we have to go look at it. To see all these people in Texas or California or wherever,
I'm not trying to blame Texas. I am trying to blame Texas because I'm sorry, but Texas is 90% idiot.
Then we lost our Texas listeners. God damn it!
But we lost them before.
All right, yeah. We lost them 5 times.
Yeah, I love parts of Texas.
I do too.
Yes,
I have a lot of relatives in Odessa.
All my relatives are in Texas, and they're great people. Even some of the people who say these incredible.
Yeah,
it's almost like listening to your racist grandfather from 1969. You're like, really?
Yeah, like I think that. Like I was trying to say, just a second ago, was we have all this information at our fingertips and knowledge, and there's all these people that choose not to explore or look at it. You know, it's sad. It's not much different than what the radicals that we're talking about do.
But the biggest threat posed by radical fundamentalist Islam is to reasonable people living in these countries.
Right.
I don't think this is a majority movement. I think that they are held hostage by a crazed militant minority segment of their civilization that because of political instability and what Western and Eastern powers do to that part of the world to keep it disenfranchised so we can keep stealing all their resources and fight over it, leaves such a wake of political instability that psycho jobs can take over, especially if that psycho job is like, hey, America or Russia, I'll help you out. And we're like, okay, sure, let's prop up this psychopath.
Right.
And then that's how we end up with this cycle of these right. fascist mini-regimes. As long as we feel we can control and extinguish them at our leisure, mm-hmm. that's going to be the system that Russia and the United States perpetuate because it serves a mutual interest. You know, we farm out the whole region and basically make it a colony that we occasionally squabble over. It's ridiculous. I mean, the situation in the Middle East should make the whole world ashamed. And
especially in light of there was so much hope just a couple of years ago with all these revolutions going on. We're like, oh wow, they're finally casting off these dictators. It was like, but the sad part about it is that they're casting off these dictators and something worse is like arising. Mm. You know what I mean? It's just like it's almost like these dictators were there and they're like keeping the fucking lid on it all.
Started out with Egypt.
And sadly, I hate to say it like that.
Well, the French Revolution happened that way. They right. got rid of the monarchy right. and then right. something even fucking no, worse right. took you're over right. before right. they finally...
That's a good analogy. Order. That is actually a very good analogy.
With regard to ISIS, the only only input I have is
ISIS is very scary. This is very scary.
Here's what I find so scary about it. I can talk to somebody who thinks rape is right. I can talk to somebody who thinks that infidels should be tortured before they're murdered. There are so many things that I can deal with, except for when I say deal with, I don't mean tolerate. Well, here's what I mean. The one kicker is this. Do you believe that beliefs should come tagged with reasons? Do you believe, if you do not, and ISIS does not, okay? We would never be able to sit down at a table with ISIS and reason with these people. So, if you're dealing with someone to whom reason makes absolutely no difference at all, then they have set the rules by which you are to engage them. If I cannot reason with you, then I would say, I am sorry, I don't know whether you're going to be able to understand this or not, but I have to destroy you now. I mean, you have given me no fucking choice but to fucking destroy you. If we could reason with them, of course we should.
This is the organization.
But can we?
The leading minds in our legislature and our military hierarchy last year were saying we need to help ISIS defeat Assad. When did ISIS become a problem?
Well, look what happened.
And when
to
did
the
it
Taliban
stop being a group that was worthy of our support? And I think that's the whole fucking problem. Why do we throw our chips in supporting some random political resurgent organization about which we know nothing because it happens to conveniently oppose a regime?
Well, look, same thing happened with the Taliban and when they were when we were
well,
helping
the context
the,
of that,
I think
the context
the
of
Russians.
The context of that. Well, the Taliban didn't exist yet until after the Russian invasion.
Okay, then
let's not get too far in that, but we can talk for hours about that.
Sure.
But getting back to the ISIS thing, President Obama was very, looking back at it now, I was very opposed to Assad at the time, and it still am, but, I mean,
he is undeniably
a total
dick.
But he's not, now I'm like, he's not ISIS, though, you know?
No, because, exactly, we dredged
no
something
one
worse.
Yeah, right.
Because we were so intent on controlling the fucking world, instead of letting
Obama
it play out by itself.
Well,
at the same time,
looking back at it, Obama had some wisdom at the time, because he was very reluctant to want to support some of these groups and stuff.
And they almost hung him for it.
Yeah.
People were like, oh, Obama.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he got attacked by the right because, oh, Obama is like supporting, or not supporting Assad, but he's not trying to get rid of Assad. And, you know, and seeing it now in that the context now, you're like, wow, no wonder. You know, because our intelligence could see how radical some of these groups in Syria were. And this is before these radical groups.
We knew they were psychopaths.
We knew they were psychopaths.
Al-Nusra Front.
Right.
We knew about.
No, we knew they were psychopaths. But they hadn't coalesced yet. They hadn't become ISIS yet. And there's still more moderate. There's still more moderate that fight ISIS. There's
There's rebel group. It's so crazy in Syria.
And do they know they stole the name of the intelligence agency from Archer?
Yes, they did.
It was intentional.
It sounds like a comic book. It sounds like
G.I. Joe. It sounds like Cobra.
Goddess or whatever.
But right. So this is reminding me of Cobra.
It's like Cobra. It's a cartoonish organization.
Oh, Bin Laden was like Cobra Commander, and like this Al Baghdadi guy is like
Cobra. La 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 la. Anyone?
Cobra. La 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 la.
They're like totally nuts. They yell shit like that. But what I was trying to say about Syria is nuts, though. Syria is like, there's like rebel groups fighting each other. You know what I mean? Because they're like, wow, these guys are, like the more secular guys are like, wow, these fucking psychopaths are trying to kill us. You know?
They're trying to kill everybody.
And those are the guys that I think those are the guys that Obama was trying to support, but those guys don't have much power. But anyway, now we have this situation in Iraq and Syria where there's this big chunk of both countries that are controlled by a non-state entity. In modern history, I've never seen anything like this. It's very scary. And they have lots of weapons, and they have lots of support, and they have lots of psychopaths. As a regular tactic, they have suicide bombers. It's like, just, it reminds me of remember that video game Command & Conquer? There's one, a version of Command & Conquer, it was a real-time strategy game. I'm sure if anyone's still listening. There was one called Generals, and there was like this, it was kind of, looking at it now, it's kind of slightly racist, but
you could play the Iraqi army.
No, it wasn't Iraqi. It was like this, it took place in the near future.
Oh, but do you remember the ones where you could play the Iraqis?
Oh, but there was this.
They had like the first scorcher, the oil fields.
Yeah, it was that one, but it was like a pan-Arab army in the future. And there was suicide bomber guys. It was fucked up now looking at it. But anyway, ISIS really does it though. They send in like a wave of guys with suicide belts to like soften up their target or whatever, and then they'll go in and hit them, you know. Or like,
Jesus. Now, how do you think the recruiting speech for that works?
Oh, you gotta die for Allah and you get virgins and shit. And they'll believe them.
They're like, you frustrated young men.
Because they're not sending their jujitsu guy in as they're sending their fucking pawns. They're sending their idiots.
I don't know if you've I've watched some of the ISIS propaganda videos, and they're very manipulative. They don't just present themselves as like hardcore like fighters, you know, that like Al Qaeda did. Al Qaeda was always like, they'd send out propaganda videos that were like showing like some Humvee in Iraq blowing up, or like, you know, or an
look at us on the monkey bars.
We're training, and there's guys with hoods like jumping over a fucking obstacle.
Look at Al Zarqawi.
Well, there's M60.
He doesn't know how to hold a gun.
He has an American gun, and he's
going to shoot himself on accident.
These guys are like more sophisticated. They'll have like their propaganda video will have like doves and like, you know, like it's like a fucking,
it's more of a piece.
Yeah, it's like a Reagan campaign video or something. Sure. You know, like the bears in the woods or, you know, whatever. I'm not saying that Reagan is anywhere like nefarious like that.
Reagan is actually secretly the leader of ISIS.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. Anyway,
what happened to Reagan during those 7 years where he left Gotham?
But the interesting thing, this is interesting though, because this is what's happening now though, is all these countries in the region are actually like, talking to each other now. They're like Iran and Saudi Arabia, who hate each other, are like, yeah, let's start talking, guys. Let's make this is scary. This is like serious. These guys are fucking freaking us out, you know? Yeah. Iran and Saudi Arabia and the UAE, they're all talking about making a coalition. And to go fight these guys, and everyone's like starting to talk. They're like, okay, we have to like, and of course, Iran influences Assad and Hezbollah and all that. So there's like all of a sudden everyone's like, God, we have to. It's kind of like a what was I talking about earlier? I was talking about it's talking about Robotech when the Zentradi land on Earth and everyone's like, oh, let's stop fighting, we got the
alien. Oh, right, yeah.
ISIS is just like this alien invasion. Yeah. They're like, what?
They're like, holy shit, these guys are gonna ruin the party.
Dude, yeah. That's why they chose ISIS. You know who's at the top of ISIS? Ozymandias. It's a big scam to fucking unite the world.
You're right.
It's it.
It's perfect. Yeah. The next thing I know is going to be a giant squid monster that hits New York.
You see, they're going to be like, when General Grievous... I think we're making light of... What is
yeah, okay, I'm sorry. But no, this is very serious. You're right. I should have made too many analogies. And
but you can't take a group that calls itself ISIS seriously. They name themselves after, like,
an Egyptian goddess.
You notice how they're going more towards... Forest, like, the media now is going more towards just
White
IS.
Osiris, my
now it's becoming more IS. It's just Islamic State. Or, like, IS. Right. We should probably wrap this up. Sure. This is an extended edition.
It is.
An extended episode.
This is two episodes.
It can be. But
we still have to wish Andy happy birthday.
Oh, geez. It's not my birthday yet, guys. Don't wish
me. Well, by the time this episode airs, it will be your birthday.
Well, since it's my birthday soon, I'm going to ask you what you're grateful for, Camacho, in light of, in contrast to the conversation that we just had about some very grave and serious matters going on in the world that I think a lot of Americans are just not paying attention to and not caring about. But anyway, that's just regular. Right?
on a less generic level, or very on a less generic level, more you could. Take it as they say. I am grateful for the freedom that we have.
Sure.
As, you know, as American citizens, as, you know, Western civilization, being able to, you know, be free to what, you know, be free what we believe in, to what we read, to what we play, to what we want to go to school for, what we want to work towards. I'm totally grateful for it, because that way, you know, without that freedom, you know, we wouldn't be given the choices of being able to do, you know, what we want to do, and that would totally knock off the diversity of the melting pot.
Yeah, there's probably about like 500 things we've said in this episode that we wouldn't be able to say otherwise. Or we would be murdered or killed
for saying it. To be tortured
before. Get our fucking head sawed off by a rusty fucking saw or something.
You guys sit right on that roof across the street with a sniper rifle.
Yeah, right.
Steve, what are you grateful for?
I'm grateful for Amazon.
Okay.
With a credit card, I can do all my shopping without ever leaving the house. I know it sounds like a joke, but honestly...
Amazon sponsors Shed Talk.
I know.
They should.
No, but literally, all I'm saying... Or Amazon type things. Amazon is just the one that's just the most popular of these sorts of sites. Literally, the idea of... If I think of it and I want it and I can afford it,
I can
get it.
Yeah.
And if I'm not in a hurry, then it'll be in my doorstep in a few days.
2 days.
I just think that's fucking awesome.
I do it all the time, you're right.
Yeah.
All the time. I'm a majority of my shopping's like that.
Literally majority of my shopping, I just ordered Q-tips. I know I'm going to buy my own Q-tips. So I ordered Q-tips off Amazon. I pay the same amount, but it saves me a trip to the fucking store.
Right.
Okay, I am unhealthily lazy, but still, that's for another episode.
No, you're not. Kyle. What are you grateful for?
I'm grateful for BoJack Horseman.
Okay.
Yeah. Love that show.
Yet another product of Western civilization.
Really liking the freedom and irreverence in Western civilization to generate things like the Americans and BoJack Horseman.
Because that horse would get his head set off.
He would get his hot, yeah. No, the version coming out of the fundamentalist tribal areas in Egypt, they would be sawing the horse's head off and saying God is great, and then
right.
And then watching the episode of BoJack Horseman and laughing. Anyway, I am kind of two things. It's my birthday, so I'm going to take two.
Sure,
but they're very related. I am grateful for. Because I've personally known a lot of these guys. I'm grateful for the professional military that we do have. It stands in stark contrast to many of the fighting forces in the world who are unruly and, but anyway, the reason I bring it up though is because, the amount of training and professionalism and dedication that these humans have to their craft is inspiring, not necessarily because of what they do specifically, but because of how they've embodied what they think is right. And to me, that's powerful, that's poignant. And to imagine, say, as an example, the Navy SEALs that snuck into Osama bin Laden's compound and took his life, you know, while he thought he was just going to die, you know, of old age, just getting away with it. Mm-hmm. But no, these professionals, these guys that we have, these trained cadres that we have, they're there to answer the call when we need them. And it might sound cliche when I say that, but it's a cliche that rings true to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm also thankful for the commander-in-chief that we have. I'm thankful for, while he takes a lot of flack and he's not very popular anymore, I have more respect for him than before he became president. I think that he is not afraid to make difficult decisions that are not popular. I think he's a very rational and thoughtful person that has been in one of the most difficult positions that any president that we've ever had has ever been in. Since the Civil War, our country has not been more divided politically. That and this whole situation with ISIS and the fact that he had to deal with the end of Afghanistan and Iraq, my thoughts are with him as he has to make the decisions about what's going to happen with IS. And like I said with my first thing of gratitude, my thoughts are with the special forces and the people conducting the air raids against IS right now. My thoughts are with them, and I wish them mission success.
Awesome. I'm with you on that one.
Go for it.
Oh, yeah.
And until next time, it's been good.
Starved in Metropolis. Hooked on Necropolis. Addict of Metropolis. Do the worm on Necropolis. Slam dance Cosmopolis. Enlighten the populace.
His words like flamethrowers.
Paris Commune.
Burned the ghettos in their chest. His face painted whiter
to rest.
Died in Marseille.
Ghetto defender.
Buried in Charleville.
In his barrow in Italy. Not to gas no patron goes. Start to take in the city.
Shut up, Italy. Honduras, Poland, 100 years war. TV rerun invasion. Death Squad, Salvador. Afghanistan, meditation. Old Chinese flu. Kick junk, what else? Gonna pour, what to do?
Ghetto defender in peril in Italy. Not to cast no patron goes. To stop you taking that city. Ghetto defender in his heroin Italy. Not to cast no patron.
So what seems to be the problem?
I'm depressed. Life seems harsh and cruel. I feel alone in a threatening world where what lies ahead is vague and uncertain.
Ah, yes. Well, the treatment is simple. Shed Talk broadcasts weekly, and there is a new episode tonight. You should tune in and listen to it. I'm sure it will pick you right up.
Shed Talk? But, Doctor, you don't understand.
I am Shed Talk!
I'm not a fan of Superman.
You set the bar pretty low.
Right. With that great reviews?
The way I always thought comics were cool.
That doesn't make any fucking sense.
I don't know.
I want to see that guy in space.
Exactly. There's nothing like, God, this is pretty good, but if he was in space.
I'm in the shed. I gotta be honest.
Please have strong opinions about shit you don't know dick about.
Shed Talk is a podcast dedicated to bringing you the best from the past and present of comics, video games, movies, and all things pop culture. You can find Shed Talk on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or directly at shedtalk.podomatic.com.